Catherine Mansfield was a writer who had a lot of feelings and had a lot of love to give. It's her birthday today, her anniversary anyway. Kathleen Mansfield was born on the 14th of October 1888 in Wellington. To celebrate her birthday, the Catherine Mansfield House and Garden has published a book entitled Woman in Love, a collection of her love letters of all sorts. It includes romantic love, but also other types of affection, familial included. The book's foreword is by British filmmaker Richard Curtis of Love Actually fame and his daughter Scarlett. It turns out that Richard Curtis was actually born in Wellington, and he and his daughter have both been long fascinated by Mansfield. Well, so too has the editor of the collection and president of the Catherine Mansfield birthplace, Nicola Saker. Kia ora, Nicola. Welcome.
Kia ora, Catherine.
So, a wonderful writer we know, but when we talk about love and love letters, we are talking of all kinds in this collection, yes?
Yes, yes. We decided to cast the net wide here. Yes, there are letters to lovers, both men and women, but all her letters to her cousins and her family and her friends and mentors, they were loving. She felt intensely, and she expressed that.
Thematically, can you explain how the book has been arranged and the scope, perhaps, of people to whom these letters were written?
The book has been arranged by correspondent. So, I mean, for some correspondents, there are lots of letters. With one in particular that I'd like to read, if I may, there's only one. And there are photos of each correspondent with a brief introduction so that the reader knows how that person related to Mansfield in her life. But there's also the aspect of, I mean, some of the people she wrote to are now extraordinarily famous. People like Virginia Woolf and Lady Ottilyn Morrell and Bertrand Russell, who weren't really that famous when she was writing to them. They were just part of her circle in London.
Please choose some to highlight and read if you wish, Nicola.
Well, the one that I think is, it's not really a letter, a love letter, but a letter about love letters, and that is to Princess Bibesco, who was the daughter of Harold Asquith, the former Prime Minister of Britain, and daughter of his wife, obviously Margot Asquith. And Princess Elizabeth married a sort of minor European aristocrat and had literary aspirations. And she began an affair with John Middleton Murray, Mansfield's husband, who was then editor of a journal. Mansfield was ailing in Monton, writing and ailing, and she got wind of the affair. And she wrote to her, and it goes like this. Dear Princess Bibesco, I'm afraid you must stop writing these little love letters to my husband while he and I still live together. It is one of the things which is not done in our world. You are very young. Won't you ask your husband to explain to you the impossibility of such a situation? Please do not make me have to write to you again. I do not like scolding people, and I simply hate having to teach them manners. Yours sincerely, Catherine Mansfield.
One can imagine the recipient of that.
You can imagine the letter hissing as it came out of the envelope.
Slightly pass ag, as we say today.
Very. Very.
I'm curious as to the style. When you think of her brilliance as a writer in the short story form in particular, how do you describe the style of her correspondence? Can you see a great similarity?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is the thing that, the immediacy, you know, we all love the immediacy of letters, don't we? You're right inside the person's mind who's writing. But, I mean, letters are sometimes written as kind of pretending, but most of the time, for most people, they're trying to communicate very directly with the reader. So there's that aspect, that the immediacy, and her work has that immediacy of just dropping you straight into a situation right away. And that was why she still appears so modern, really, I think, is that.
Were there others that surprised you or perhaps revealed things about a relationship that surprised you?
I think there's a lot of letters to twin brothers with whom she sort of had, she was passionate about one who and he wasn't interested in her. These were the sons of her cello teacher in Wellington, the Trowells. And she just, she wrote screeds of letters to both of them. And they're all, you know, she was 15 and they're kind of agonizingly painful and adolescent and pretentious and, but also extraordinarily vulnerable in a way. Mansfield very quickly stopped being vulnerable. And those letters are kind of interesting for that reason in a way, is that she's just so open to the chorus, to Garnet Trowell in particular, with whom she had got pregnant to and the child miscarried. Yeah.
You see, this is another interesting thing in looking at someone's love letters, including everything from the childhood crush through to someone we know had, in many ways, so many painful events in her life.
Mm.
You are almost watching someone's experience of love go from the naive, I guess, and the wonderful imagination that infuses young love of all kinds and attraction of all kinds to what it might be like by the time you're asking someone to lay off your husband, please, or once had one's heartbroken. And can you see an evolution in some ways in her emotional trajectory?
Yes, but there's also this extraordinary honesty in them that just kind of comes off the page a lot of the time. I mean, some people, I mean, there's an academic view that some of her best writing is in her letters. And she certainly, sometimes you can become aware of them being like a first draft of a passage about something that later appears in a story. So she was crafting them as well as talking to the correspondent. She was using them as writing exercises sometimes, I think.
Yeah. Well, of course, letters, such a great strand of literature for so many years, they're becoming so much less common now.
Gone.
Because we just, email and text, but they were absolutely literary forms.
Yeah, and who's keeping their hard drives and giving them to the Alexander Turnbull Library? Is anybody? I don't know.
Well, to that point, where did you go looking for these letters and how many of her papers in full are available to us?
Well, there's a wonderful collection edited by Vincent O'Sullivan and Margaret Scott of five volumes of her letters. And that is a very comprehensive piece of work. And I drew on those five volumes for these letters. But equally, there's a volume of her love letters to her husband John Middleton Murray, her second husband, that they were only together 12 years, and that's 700 pages. I mean, in 6 months alone, she wrote over 120,000 words to him. I mean, we're talking about this incredible output. I mean, you had mail in London twice a day then. You could write to somebody in the morning and they could give you a letter by the return mail.
It's kind
of fascinating. And that was augmented by telegrams often as well for really pressing things like Bertrand Russell, I can't come to dinner tonight, see you soon sort of thing.
Stop. What of the role of the foreword writers here, Richard Curtis and daughter Scarlett?
Yeah. Well, Cherie Jacobson, who's the director of the house, and I were talking, Cherie suggested a foreword, because they can become whole works on their own for some, if you're lucky. And it gives the book a kind of lift and loft. And we were trying to think of a New Zealander or somebody with a New Zealand connection and a connection with English literature who was all about love. And I don't know if you can think of anybody, but we simply caught it. We racked our brains, and then it came. I checked out, you know, years ago, Richard Curtis, because I admire his work so much. And I mean, checking it out involved looking at Wikipedia, basically, and there it was, born in Wellington. His father was an executive in Unilever, and they lived in Australia and New Zealand and the Philippines, I think, before going back and settling in England, and Richard starting school when he was 11 in England, or, you know, school in England, his education there. And it's always just stayed with me, because the way these things do, you know, if you're a Wellingtonian or a Kiwi.
Wasn't born in Tinakori Road, was he?
No, well, I've yet to check that out. But I've met Finola Dwyer, the filmmaker, quite a few times, but we're not in touch. But my friend Jen Lake is a good friend of Finola's, and I asked Jen if she had asked Finola if she knew Richard Curtis and if she'd forward an email from me. You know, it's the Kiwi female mafia. And Finola said yes, she would. She did know him, and yes, she would do that. And it would help if it was about a charity, you know. And, well, we are a charity, and all the proceeds from this book go towards the house and its operation.
Wonderful.
So I wrote an email and got the most wonderful email back from Richard Curtis, saying yes, he'd love to, but also suggesting that he co-write it with his daughter Scarlett, who did a thesis on Mansfield at NYU.
And there you go, that old 6 degrees of separation in action. Nicola,
and
thank
you.
That's wonderful. Thank you very, very much. Nicola Saker, the book is Woman in Love, Catherine Mansfield's Love Letters. It is available online at catherinemansfield.com and in bookshops, recommended price $30. It's also available for sale through the Catherine Mansfield House and Garden. And it's her 133rd, we'll call it a birthday, but the anniversary of her birth today, Catherine Mansfield.